Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match review. I still haven't decided what we're calling this one because we haven't actually got a game to look forward to, but it's a game to look back at yesterday's goalless draw with Fulham here at the Valley. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me here in the studio to look back at that game with the West Londoners over on my right hand side. Tom, you're looking very down.
Thanks. Yep.
Literally, for some reason, Tom and Nathan are sitting really low in their chairs. What are you doing?
Just trying to keep ourselves amused.
Very low.
Yeah, literally, they're just laughing at the fact that they're sitting slightly low
so
in the chair.
So childish.
Mr. Childish number two, Nathan, desperately trying to get back up to regulation height. Nathan, how are you?
Yeah, living the dream, mate. Yeah, good point yesterday. So, got a couple of days off, weekend off for a change. Yeah, nice, lovely.
A good point yesterday, and you two are about to make loads of excellent points on tonight's Charlton Live. On tonight's show, then, we'll look back at that game with Fulham. We're going to hear the highlights of the game. Of course, we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer, the Addicts boss, who's finally signed an extension to his contract as well, a three-year extra deal for the Addicts boss. We'll hear from him on yesterday's game and on his deal. I have to say, it's one of Terry's best interviews with him. He's in a really relaxed mode. Comes out with some good stuff, plus something really funny happens halfway through, so we're looking forward to that. We'll hear from Josh Cullen as well, the midfielder who made his return from injury during yesterday's game. We'll hear what Josh made of the performance and how happy he is that Lee Bowyer has signed a new contract. We might hear about 20 seconds from Scott Parker as well later on, because I asked him what it felt like to be back at the Valley, and I thought you might be interested in that. So before we hear the highlights, also you can get in touch as well, actually, if you want to have your say on this evening's show. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum to have your say on this evening's show. Like I say, it's a weird one because normally it's the big match preview on a Thursday. I've gone for the big match review because it just meant changing one letter on the tweet. So we're looking back at yesterday's game. Get in touch. We won't be here on Sunday, of course, with no game being played over the weekend. So before we hear the highlights, Tom. Yeah, that's a good point. First clean sheet in 16 games as well, 17 games, I should say, which feels big as well. A bit of a let off at one point with the corner, but overall we defended quite well and we sort of went for it a bit towards the end. On another day, we might have created a couple more chances.
Yeah, I think that we know we need wins, but I don't think any of us would have expected one of the wins to come from the game against Fulham. I think there's better opportunities next month. I thought it was a brilliant performance. Me and Nath both said when we left the game yesterday, the structure and the discipline in our defending yesterday was absolutely brilliant. The shape and the way we forced them out wide was just so, so good. And the concentration levels to keep that up, we've talked about, especially early in the second half when we fall asleep, to manage to keep that up for 90 minutes plus, I thought was unbelievable. And for Parker to come out after the game and say we'd set up defensively, now obviously we're not going to try and go for it against a team like that, but you've got the likes of Green and Williams and Ozturmer and bringing Lyle on as well. I thought we had some attacking threat out there, so yeah. I don't think we sat back and we let them have the ball, but we had our chances as well, and on another day maybe could have even got 3 points.
Yeah, to say we played for a draw, which Scott Parker did say at one point, I don't think that was fair. Sure, we soaked up a lot of pressure, but we've done that away from home at times. We've done it at home at times.
You have to against a team like them.
Even the Derby game, we actually soaked up a fair bit of pressure before hitting them on the counter-attack. Nath, yeah, we had chances towards the end, but like I say, the defensive solidity, which there was a couple of lapses, let's not gloss over that, but it was clearly much better than it has been recently.
Yeah, I think so. Just sort of backing up what Tom said, really, the discipline of it. False. I mean, the big thing for me is when obviously Mitrovic went start and they played with Bobby Reid as like a false nine. So, looking at the team, you always knew we were gonna force them out wide and they were gonna try and cut in, which is where Pratters and I thought Josh Cullen come in, and obviously the fullbacks had to tuck in quite narrow. And they couldn't. We could have forced them out wide. And they could have tried to whip it in a box, but had no target man. So, it was quite predictable in what they were gonna do, but I think in comparison to other weeks as well, I thought the middle of midfield, I know You know, Josh had a really good game, but we didn't get cut open as much in the middle like we did in our last home game, which I thought we were a bit too open. But yeah, no, I mean, like Tom said, we ain't going to sit there and go gung-ho against Fulham. They're still a good, you know, they're a very neat side. And when they were in the Premiership and they were in the relegation, they didn't go Man City and just try and win a game 4-5-0 because they'll get battered. So, and we still had quite, you know, Josh versus game for a while, Ozturma's first game. And like Tom said, with the subs, it's refreshing to be able to have three changes and you've got Lyle Taylor, Green and Williams coming on, which is good signs.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have a quick listen to the brief highlights from last night's game then. Of course, your commentators over in Valley Pass were Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
It'll be Josh Cullen to go out to underneath the scoreboard to swing this in. Fulham, everybody back inside their penalty area. Charlton with three or four players hovering around the edge. Now the ball's sent in. It's a deep one. It's going to be easy cleared away by Hector. And it comes to Albie Orland and takes a shot. It's gone all the way across.
It's a deflection.
And it's, I think that's hit Jason Pearce and trickled into the arms of the keeper. Edge of the penalty area. Prattley dives in. He rides the tackle and then a shot blocked away by Lockyer. And Darren Prattley committed himself there and almost handed it on a plate to an arm. McDonald. Halfway inside the Charlton off in his central position. Little 1-2 with Deckard over Reid. Now he's up to an arm. Back to Deckard over Reid. Takes a shot. Oh, and Dylan Phillips has to go to his left. Whether that swerved away from him, I'm not sure. But he took no chances and turned it away for a corner. And Arter has it now for Fulham. Inside the Charlton half. On left of centre. Still Arter. Bringing it forward. Finds Kearney. Kearney tries to send Brian on his way into the penalty area. Takes a shot. Oh, just wide left of the post. That was a whisker away. And Charlton survived probably Fulham's first real shot in anger.
Yeah, well, there's a way forward. Ball drops and Pearce can only control it. And the ball ricochets down to Kearney. Reverse ball finds Deckard over Reid inside the penalty area. Shooting opportunity, Deckard over Reid straight at Dylan Phillips.
It was offside then, Deckard over Reid. Definitely offside, but the linesman was nowhere near.
Phillips' kick does indeed bring the whistle to the mouth of the referees. And blows for half-time here at the Valley. Cavallero swings it in. Decent looking delivery towards the far post. There's a free header and there's a wasted opportunity for Hector. Totally free at the far post and guides his header wide. That's a sitter.
Absolute sitter. Charlton nearly guilty of giving another goal away in the first 5 minutes of the second half. Left Hector completely on his own. I mean, absolutely freedom of the city in the fast deal, this near side.
Turns back, Hemet. Ball to the left. It's a good one to Cullen. Cullen, it's got further left. It's Doughty in the penalty area. Doughty, shooting opportunity, goes for it, and it's low, but straight out Ruddock. Ruddock, should I say, made the save, and Fulham now roll the ball out immediately to Kearney.
It's a ball to Hemet, and he's just missed the first one, but he might get a second one. He's pulled back now. Has the referee got an answer?
Oh,
I tell you what.
My first reaction is foul, but it's just whether it's inside the penalty area or not.
Doughty into the penalty area on the right hand side, just holding him up at the minute. Back his head back towards the edge of the penalty area, shooting. Oh, and he's got underneath it and away into the covered in opportunity spurned. But Charlton asking questions of
towards Hector. Lockyer will jump and gets there as well. It'll drop to Doherty, who's going to send Taylor on his way down that right-hand side. What a clearance that is, and Taylor picks it up right side of the penalty area. It's got Williams across there. And just touched away from Williams by Christie. Otherwise, that would have been a certain goal.
What a ball in. What a ball in for Taylor. That was outstanding.
Don't have an opportunity here. It's a couple of yards inside the right-hand touchline, adjacent to the corner of the Fulham penalty area on the right side. In it comes, into the box, Taylor's there, Pearce is there with a header, it's just skied off his head, and that's the full-time whistle. Fairly even game, you've got to say, here at the Valley, between Charlton and Fulham.
There we go then, that was the highlights of the goalless draw with Fulham. Only briefed, I mean, there weren't too many chances, if we're being honest, for either side, which is good really, because Fulham are a team that, you know, they try to pass you to death. 68% possession they had, according to the BBC Sport website yesterday. That was at 71% in the first half. I'm surprised we didn't get a bit more back, actually, in that second half, because it did feel like, certainly in the closing stages, that we started to really grow into that when we've made a few subs. But the main point when you're playing Fulham is they're going to try and pass you to death. You've got to make sure you stay in your shape, you stay organised, and restrict them to what was mainly long-range efforts. We saw a couple where they got into the penalty area, but overall we seem to do our job, which is something we ain't really done too often recently.
Yeah, you said a little bit earlier there were a couple of lapses in concentration. Obviously we heard in the highlights there that header early in the second half, one of their best chances. But on the whole, I think you're right. We restricted them to very little. Dill's made a couple of good saves, but he's going to have to do that in a lot of games because of the side we are in the league we are. And that's, you know, what he's there to do. So, yeah, I thought it was a very accomplished performance. And Nave said it earlier, the difference Cullen makes, it's unreal how much, I wouldn't say necessarily we're reliant on him, but just how much difference he makes when he's in the side, because that defence just looks so much more solid with him in front. And again, like Nave said, the shape kind of lent itself to that kind of narrow, restrictive formation. But without Cullen there, I think it would have been a very different game. And he just adds so much as that shield in front of the back four and is able to just turn around possession so quickly. I was pleased to see Albie start as well. I thought him and Ozzy played pretty well, especially Ozzy considering it's his first game, full game back. So yeah, there are a lot of positives to take. As I said right at the start, I know we do need wins, but I think there are opportunities over the next few weeks against the likes of Barnsley and Stoke to maybe try and get some of those. But, you know, someone like Fulham come into our place, it's not going to be an easy game. And to get another point off one of the top five, the record against the top five has been doing the rounds today, it is very solid. And yet again, goes back to that point we made in the early parts of this season. We can compete with those top teams, and it's partly down to the injuries, but if we were able to put away a few of the teams around us, then this season would be very different.
Yeah, I put the stat out on my match report last night. I think it's 7 games against the top five we've played so far this season, and we remain unbeaten in those, which is strange, but it shows we've got a game plan that can work against some of the more affluent sides in this division. Tom mentioned Josh Cullen there. He provides that shield. I guess with the energy he has in front of that back four, which it was last night, he can be in places which means that they don't find themselves getting dragged out of their position and all of a sudden getting ripped apart.
Yeah, I think the thing with Josh is he provides a pivot. I mean, the first half yesterday, you had Kevin McDonald who sat there for Fulham and everything was going through him, and he was just that pivot going left, right. And I think we lack that since Josh has been out. We lack that person to be at the base and start the attacks going forward, because what we was doing is going a lot more direct and into the channels, whereas Josh provides, obviously, the, like Tom said, the defensive sort of stability at the base. But he's an outlet that he doesn't mind the ball in tight places, and he can start things out left and right, or he can go longer, he can run with the ball. And he's just his overall energy, because like Tom said, I think if he wasn't there, to maintain that amount of pressing and concentration, we would have had, you know, if Albie was sitting there, or, I mean, we'd have had Pratt's in there, but it would have been a different game. And I don't think we probably would have got a point yesterday, if I'm honest, if Josh weren't there. It's put a lot on his shoulders, but I really think that. But yeah, overall, it was a good, solid point, and I'm glad Josh is back now, because, like Tom said again, you can really see the difference when he's in it.
Yeah, we'll hear from Josh Cullen later on in the show. Of course, I mean, we started off quite brightly. Actually, won a couple of corners. I think Albie had that ball went into the middle that sort of in the end deflected into the arms of Rodak, and then but then the game settled into the pattern that you'd expect. Fulham enjoying plenty of possession. Deckard over Reed having a couple of opportunities that Dylan made saves from. I think it was Brian as well who had that one across the face of the goal. That was probably their best chance in the first half. But like I say, for a team that does feel like they can create at will. To restrict them to that, I think Bowes would have been quite pleased with.
Yeah, definitely. And as you just said there, you expect them to come here and have chances, even without someone like Mitrovic and without Knockaert as well. But you go back to that defensive display, and obviously Nath and myself both sit in the north stand, so obviously we're behind the defenders in that first half. And you watch them, and the defenders were out and they were pressing, and then the minute they got out of their zone, they were dropping back and allowing Cullen and Prattley to do their work in front of them. And then as soon as the players came back into their little zone again, they'd go out, they'd press them, they'd push them back out. The fullbacks were dropping in, remaining tight. As soon as they switched it across, they were all shuffling across, closing them down. And we just kept doing that. And as I say, it was just, for me, as a football fan, I really enjoyed watching it. I know some people might disagree because you want fast, free-flowing football and loads of goals. And of course, I like to see that as well. But to see that organisation and to see it working, particularly considering how many goals we've conceded in recent games, it's just comforting to know that actually they can still do it. We'd mentioned Pearce the other week as someone who has perhaps found the Championship a bit of a struggle, particularly with his kind of physical approach to the game. But I thought he handled handled it well as well yesterday. I thought Matthews, who's another one who's come under not a little bit of pressure, but he's a bit, we don't really know what he's about. Purrington obviously dropped out of the side. I thought they all handled it really, really well. And like Nath says, then we had the likes of Albie and Josh that when they could get the ball, they would turn on it and look to go forwards as well, rather than just lumping it long. So, yeah, you're right. There was a very clear pattern to that first half, but it was a pattern that I felt we were relatively comfortable in, and they got through a couple of times, as you say. But behind them, they've got Dylan Phillips, who, you know, doesn't let a lot past him that he should save. I think a lot of the goals, you know, as I say, we have conceded a fair few recently, but if you look back, there aren't many that you'd put down to a mistake from him, I don't think.
Yeah, certainly not. Obviously, we were boosted before kickoff as well, a couple of hours before, about by the news, Nath, that Lee Bowyer had finally signed that three-year deal. You know, there's been talk over the last couple of weeks, 5 years, is it going to be five? Spoke to Bo after yesterday, and he said, you know, 3 years is much more realistic. That's where he should be. No one wants to sign a 5-year deal. They negotiated and found something that worked for them. Now, you know, I'd say that's been hanging over us a little bit the last couple of weeks. People have been wondering why it hasn't happened, and you could feel, you could almost, the boost in the stadium was almost palpable yesterday.
Yeah, it was. I mean, obviously Brian gave him a little introduction, didn't he, when he come out the tunnel, and rightly so. And the fans sounded their appreciation. I think we could just draw a line under it now. I think obviously you'll probably hear later in terms of Bo, but he's probably relieved now that he ain't going to be asked it.
That's what he said to me.
It's good, and I think it draws a line under it. I think I know a lot of people may disagree, but I think it's a massive pull for players, because if you think about it, if you're a player and you know that Bowyer wants you, but then he's only got 6 months, they might get a new manager and like they don't fancy you, and then you've moved all your family back. You know what I mean? It's little things like that. I think it'll be a big pull now he's got a longer deal, but proof would be in the pudding, isn't it? We might not end up selling anyone now. I've said that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I hope it does, and I hope, you know, everyone's working hard. I hope it proves it now. Like I said, draw a line under it, get Jacko and Marshy done, happy days.
Yeah. A couple of penalty shouts yesterday, Tom. Fulham, I think it would be extremely harsh on Alfie Doughty, but the ball, when it went, before he went on that barnstorming run that was almost the length of the pitch, he handled it inside the area. The ball just bounced up awkwardly and hit him sort of on the lower arm. And I mean, in the current region of the rule, I don't think that's a penalty, because it wasn't remotely deliberate from him. If he was an attacker doing that and it hit his hand, then it would be a free kick against him for inadvertent use of the hand, because it would have given him an advantage. The other one was for Tom Ahmed. I mean, a slight disparity between my tweet and the club's tweet. I thought there was nothing in it. Ollie was convinced that Hemed was murdered inside the penalty area. Your views on that one?
Pretty much the same as Bowyer, to be honest. Everybody else started shouting about it, so I thought, well, if everybody else is, I'll give it a go as well. But I think the fact that I reacted in that way suggests deep down I didn't think it was. It was just a bit of a coming together, really. He went down a little bit easily. So no, I think that would have been harsh, as would the one against Alfie as well, because, as you say, I saw it bounce up and I thought, I think that might have struck his hand. But then he was off down the pitch and I was like, referee's not bringing that back. So a bit of a sigh of relief with that one. But no, I think either would have been harsh. He didn't give much to the ref yesterday. There were a lot of sort of quite hard 50-50 challenges, players going down, Prattley doing his little shield of the ball and go down plenty of times. And the ref weren't giving him any free kicks at all, it didn't seem.
Which is unusual, I guess, for him. I'm positive towards the end, like I say, once the lights of Johnny came on and Lyle Taylor, Andre Green, I think Andre was probably a bit quiet actually thinking about it, but the other two coming on certainly added a little bit of something to us. As we started pushing, we saw a shot over from Oz Tumor, we saw that chance for Alfie Doughty sort of at the near post, and then in that dying stages, that ball that Taylor was curving behind the defence, and you're thinking that Johnny was going to pick it up at the far post, and it's cut out well. Brilliant challenge actually by the Fulham man to put it behind, I think, for a corner in the end. But it just shows that, as we said earlier, now that we're able to actually bring on some of these quality players, and you imagine they're going to be starting games sooner rather than later as well, we're almost getting back to strength now, and that, I mean, that's what's been so desperately lacking. Imagine if we'd scored a winner last night. I mean, it would have felt like that everything's finally coming up Millhouse in terms of Charlton, because it just feels like with the contract, players coming back, now we can start to try and get back to our early season form, or at least something resembling it. Just make sure we get the points to get over the line.
Yeah, slowly but surely we'll be coming back. And you know, Bowes did say, and this is the thing why you don't want to go and sign 10 players, you know, because we have got good players that are nearing back to full fitness. We just need to make sure they stay fit, not come off after 12 minutes. But we just need to make sure they keep fit. And that's what I was surprised, even though, well, I was surprised he made Josh start, well, do the 90, because I thought he was going to bring someone on.
That wasn't the plan. Albie Morgan was due to last the 90, but he started cramping up. Josh was going to come off, but Albie started picking up cramp. So Albie had to come off instead, and Josh had to last. But at the same time, on Saturday, before we found out that Cullen had a slight knockback, I was saying to people, I reckon Josh will start today, because the same thing happened last year when he'd been out for 3 months with his shoulder injury. He came back and he started the next game and lasted, I believe he probably lasted the majority of the 90 minutes. So I thought he has that in him. Mm-hmm. As Bo says, the boy's an absolute machine with his energy in that midfield. Right, so I mean, we look at it as a point, probably dented Fulham's chances of getting into that top two. Puts a little bit of pressure, I guess, on Leeds and West Brom, who are struggling. But for us, it's now 6 points again. The gap down to 22nd place Barnsley, who of course are next up here at the Valley. If we can get a win there, I mean, that's going to be a huge game. But even if we don't, as long as we don't lose, I mean, we keep that nice gap above the relegation zone. I mean, psychologically, any point we gain to widen that gap above Barnsley, we're going to lose, and it's massive for us.
It's exactly what we said when we left the ground on yesterday, that if we can beat Barnsley, obviously it's 6 points at the moment, isn't it, to make that 9 points would be absolutely massive. Just don't lose it, basically. Even if we get a point, I think we'll be all right. But as I said earlier, looking into February, I think there are a lot of games in February that we could look at and think, do you know what, I think we can get some in. Blackburn at home, I think possible. Stoke away, I know Stoke is traditionally a tough place to go, but they've not been the best team this season. Barnsley at home, definitely one we have to target. And I think with the players coming back, I mean, a few of them obviously already back now, and with some time to really get fit over the next week, 10 days, likes of Anike and people coming back as well. I think the squad just looked so much better last night. When that team sheet came out, I was out with Lewis before the game, and the team came out and it was so much better to see that bench like that. And again, that's no discredit to all those youngsters that have come in and handled themselves really well. But we just needed the likes of Taylor and Green and Williams, players like that, to be able to bring off the bench and actually try and change a game. So that was refreshing to see. So yeah, I feel like I've been pretty positive about it throughout all of this anyway, and you know, I'm still not too concerned about relegation, but I think now we've started to get the players back that can back that confidence up, and we still do need a few more over the next 10 days, but I think we're in so much better shape now going into the second half of the season.
Yeah, certainly. All right, special mention, of course, for our very own Lewis Catt, who took part in the crossbar challenge yesterday and let us down, as he always does. He came close, to be fair. It wasn't a bad effort, but he still missed. Because I was assuming he was going to share that $4,500 out amongst us for being
almost
his friend.
Almost certainly.
Yeah, but he decided not to. Right, let's have a listen to what Lee Bayer said. A bit of a feature-length interview this is with Terry. But like I say, Bowes was in a really good place yesterday. Signed his three-year deal, got an excellent point against Fulham as well. He came in to speak to Terry after the match yesterday. The Addicts boss was very happy with the display that he got from his side.
Only 1 point. Could have maybe nicked three, but I think overall I'd probably say we deserved a point. Did we deserve all three? No, but there's been times then we did deserve more and got nothing, so I would have grabbed three in a heartbeat, but I'm happy with one, and you won't hear me say that very often. So to play against a top Fulham side with the quality of player that they've got and coming off the bench, to draw them tonight, I think we've still not our full side that we can go at full strength. Again, it just shows that, credit to the players, they give everything every time they step on the pitch. And people, you'd have said before the game, people would have said not a chance we're going to get anything. But this is what we do, we surprise teams and we play the formation that we ain't really played before. So yeah, I thought it was a very good professional performance, and we had to be patient at times, and we had to let them keep the ball, because unfortunately, like they're in third place, should be pushing for promotion, and we're not that high, so we have to respect them and allow them to pass the ball at times, because if you don't, that's what they're waiting for. They're waiting for, how do I put it? What did he used to say? A dummy. So Graham Souness used to say, look, teams look to find who the dummy is. Someone has fallen asleep. That's what they tried tonight. Like that's what they do. They keep moving it, and then someone falls asleep. That's when they hurt you. That didn't happen to us tonight, and I thought the lads were excellent.
Continuing on the game, I mean, fans would have turned up today. They would have obviously been in good moods anyway with the other news, and we'll get to that in a minute. But they come back, see the team sheet, see Josh Cullen starting, which would have probably surprised a few. The players back on the bench who we've been missing, Lyle Taylor one, obviously Williams continuing his comeback, Tommy Hemming starting. Certainly look better, look stronger. But even so, you still the likes of Alfie Doherty and Albie Morgan in the starting 11 and still putting a performance like that. Alfie Doherty was immense and was everywhere. I mean, so probably with a bit more composure, probably could have had a couple himself.
Yeah, yeah. Just that final bit of quality in the final third, you know, and that's the difference between whether you play at the top or you don't. He's a 19-year-old kid that has, I have to say, he's been outstanding since he's come into the side. He's playing on merit. He's done nothing wrong. Yes, in the final third tonight, I'm thinking, just relax. When you get there, he just needs to relax. You know, it's like still that 100 mile an hour to get him there. Then he needs to just relax and then and just slide the ball across a couple of times. But listen, he's being ultra picky. Kid was excellent at in possession, out possession, worked his socks off. He's learning the game. So fair play to him. I thought he was outstanding.
Must be also delighted with the you know, the solidity of the team. First half, probably an even affair with chances for both sides. Half chances, probably, but second half, really, apart from the Hector free header at the far side of the six-yard box, it'll probably give you nightmares later. But apart from that, not too much trouble, Dylan Phillips.
No. That I wasn't happy with that because we showed them, Jacko showed them that same corner that they'd done against Middlesbrough five nights ago, whatever it was, they'd done exactly the same and missed that one as well. So but I think someone gets blocked, someone must get blocked for that fella to be spare and free. Someone's getting blocked somewhere, so it is a foul, but don't get blocked, that's what I say. So I wasn't happy though, to score from that. Wow. I tried to think, but most important thing is that we got a clean sheet. Clean sheet, like Josh Cullen coming back into the side, it's immense. Is it a coincidence that a top side like that haven't had as many chances against us? Because he's just come back into the side. His work rate there, man, the things he breaks up. Him and Prattley together, I thought they was immense in the middle of the park.
And the crowd responded in kind. They were hearing their numbers again, and they would have come to the Valley with the news, obviously, that you've signed the new contract, which has given everybody, certainly in the stadium, a lift, and by the looks of it, the club as well. So it's all good news, all positive news, everybody arriving at the Valley this evening.
Yeah, they're a part of me staying. They're a part of me signing the contract. I did say that we're going to go on this journey, and I wasn't lying, you know. I'm not being stalled in nothing. The contract got delivered to me yesterday afternoon. My agent said, right, I've got your contract, okay, go for it, make sure it's all done, go for all the whatever you need to do, I want it doing tomorrow. Okay, Lee, boom, 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 yep, tomorrow is today. Perfect, yep, do it before the game, let's lift the place, let's all come back together and get going again. And I've just said that to the players. Look, here we go. Now, from there, you're going to have a couple of days off now. From now, we are going to start going on a run. We've got players back. Like, this is it. From now to the end of the season, now we're going to kick on.
And different atmosphere as well, because obviously your contract signed, we're assuming the backroom staff will follow suit. And going forward, you've got, as you say, you've got the rest. You've got players coming back and the ability to sign some players. Must give you it's a different feeling, isn't it, going into the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, and that's a part of the reason why I stayed as well. You know, there's like I said before, many a time it's like a puzzle. All these different puzzles, players are a puzzle, and obviously I've met the chairman on a few occasions, and the things he's saying I liked. Gonna build the club again, so I want to be part of that. You've got a group of fans that don't stop seeing you home and away, travel up and down the country. Got a group of players that give me absolutely everything, no matter who it is on the pitch every week. I've got great staff around me. Why would I not want to stay here and be part of this? So, I'm looking forward to it. I'm 3 years and I'm looking forward to moving it forward.
You and the players have experienced the highs, obviously towards the end of last season, naturally, but also this season, the beginning of it. You said at the beginning of the season, of course we're going to be, people are expecting us to be in a relegation fight, and it stands to reason we might be. At the beginning of the season, we didn't see that. You've experienced a little bit of it now. I bet you'll be quite happy that you don't experience it again.
Yeah. In this time I've been in charge, I've learnt a hell of a lot. To try and manage a team, 23, 24-man squad, and lose 15 of them, that's tough. And you're asking young lads that ain't ready to go and do what they're doing, and then right Saturday, Tuesday, like, come on lads, you've got to now re-pick yourselves up, and we've got to go again, and you've just lost, but don't worry, like, put me arm around them, you know, and then the next one, give them a bollocking, like, that ain't good enough, push, getting blood out of a stone, like, to get to go and draw against West Brom, draw against Fulham, beat Bristol City, like, some of the results we've had, it's been exceptional. Of course we ain't got as many points as that. After the first 8-9 games, I expected us, okay, we're all right here. Like, this is going to be okay. And then obviously all the injuries has come all at once. But the most important thing is for us, that we stick together, and we have, and we've grinded out stuff.
Staff announcement.
Please note that...
Someone didn't write it down.
So most important thing is that...
Staff announcement. Please note that normal fire alarm procedures are now in place. Thank you.
She forgot what she had to say. I'm ruining it. Four words. Four words she had to say. It was tough, wasn't it? Bloody hell. Basically, we just got to stick together and keep fighting. Keep fighting and moving on. So,
I think tonight's... the crowd have been immense all season and last, of course. But I think tonight there was something different about it. I think tonight we were talking about journeys. And tonight, I think the crowd sensed, with your contract being signed, with players coming back, they actually feel the journey's going to start again. That's the way it felt for me tonight.
Yeah. And I'm getting excited when I'm seeing these players coming back. I've seen them training Monday, Tuesday, and it's like, wow, here we go. Like, I can feel it, I can see it. Like, there's competition for places. When there's competition for places, they push each other every day. When you push each other every day, the quality gets higher. You ain't got to play them and kill them every single game, Tuesday, Saturday. Like, you can rotate a little bit. Come in, you know, you've done great. Come out, have a little rest. Go on, you go in there. Wow. I'm excited, trust me. So but the fans, again, like, unreal tonight. Didn't stop singing all night again. And at the end there, I was thinking, I said to Jacko when we had that free kick, like, the crowd, I said to Jacko, if we score now, the place is going to erupt. But unfortunately for us, we didn't. But they kept singing. They're a credit to the football club, you know. Same as the players. Players are, the fans are. Everyone plays different parts to take clubs in the right direction, and ours are excellent.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pearce is there. Bowers header. And it's Charlie.
Yes!
Oh, it's
in!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty!
Woo! Dreamland!
Charlie has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom! Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley! Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Welcome back. This is Charlton Live, the big match review on your Thursday evening, looking back at yesterday's game with Fulham here at the Valley. That was Lee Bowyer, who was kind enough to come in to speak to Terry after the game. You could tell he was in a good mood, because normally when the alarm goes off or the announcement goes off, he's fuming, but he found it funny yesterday when someone forgot their line halfway through. Obviously in a good mood, and great to see he signed that 3-year deal now. Hopefully the first bit of stability that we need, and things will continue in that vein. Let's have a look at some of the messages that came in over the course of the last 24 hours. Then my only desire, so it was a great result to get a point off a good Fulham side. It's not a coincidence that Cullen came back in and we kept a clean sheet. Right, Hendrik says, great point last night, but questions have got to be asked about Dylan Phillips in goal. He gives the ball away too much with his terrible kicking. Nathan, you got your head in your hands?
Oh man, oh, he's entitled to it. His kicking's not great, but if he was that great, he'd be at Man City, wouldn't he? But he's the first goalie to reach 100 saves. But but you know, he's not paid to keep the ball out of the net, is he? But you know, never mind. Yeah. But I'll just say that I disagree with that comment. But yeah, life goes on.
Yeah.
But you know, come on, have a heart, mate. Right. I know he's kicking anger. I'm holding
he's
back
going,
here.
He's going.
I ain't going to lose it this time. I've got in trouble once before. I ain't doing it again. Everyone's entitled to, but I think you look at where he's come from. That Sunderland game, he's the first goalie. He's in the top three of saves, distributed. Not his distribution, no. He's catching, coming for crosses. I remember he never used to come for a cross.
Yeah.
Never. He commands a box. Yeah, his kicking can be better, but...
That was one that did got me on there on Saturday when we got beat by Preston. So I saw someone tweeting that Dylan should have come out for the corner that Bauer headed in about 15 yards out. I was like, come on, you didn't.
Wait, we're playing Monkey Rush, are we? Not back at school. I know he needs to improve his distribution. Yeah, of course he does. But every player in our team has got a flaw. Otherwise, they wouldn't be playing for Charlton, would they?
Yeah, no, exactly. But, that's a really dour way to look at it, but it's the truth, isn't it? Robert says, take our first 0-0 yesterday all day long. A team in third with all their quality. Great battling performance from us with bodies clearly coming back. We should be up to a 90% fully fit squad by February and ready to go again. That's a very good point. Rob, thanks for getting involved. Dev says, I'll keep this short. Keep May 2023. The journey continues. It sounds like he's bringing out a film or something, isn't it? Yeah. Are you confident that we're going to be in that playoff final with Leeds, like I've said?
Absolutely not. No. No chance of that. But no, I think we'll stay up, though, and that's the important thing. But we're not going to make the playoffs, are we?
Nah, that's what we never know. Anthony Henderson, evening. Anthony says, with Marcus Madison in advanced talks, do you think that we could get him in? I can only dream that Ivan Toney could follow as well. Bo's signing his contract must be a difference, though. Your thoughts and great listening, as usual, guys. Onwards and upwards. Yeah, cheers for Anthony. Yeah, I noticed that someone from Sky tweeted about Marcus today, saying we're getting... closer again. I don't know what to read into that. I imagine there will be business done before the end of the window, and obviously we've had a bid accepted for Marcus Madison. We were told it was going to be put on ice, but Sky seem to think that something's changed.
I mean, I always say the same when it's on the official site, you know, the media team here will let everyone know. It's also hearsay until it's done, isn't it? But I think Madison, I've said it before, I think he'll offer us something different, something that we haven't got for sure. But it depends if two parties can agree, and if Bo wants him and Steve and Jack want him, then great. But yeah, I saw the tweet as well, but I just take everything in a pinch of salt. You'll always, because you've got some little kid sitting in his pants in his bedroom somewhere coming up with like some random players that we'll sign, but it could be, I'm not saying that the kids who've done that is, but you know, I just take everything in a pinch of salt.
So someone who's worked his way up all the way through his career. Yeah, he went to journalism school. You know,
he's respectable.
He got that job at Sky. He's probably delighted when he got that job at Sky. Went to tell his parents, I finally got my big break into football journalism, and then old Nathan from Charlton Live saying he's just some kid sitting in his pants.
He's just working at home one day in his bedroom.
I might listen to Charlton Live today, see what they're saying about my exclusive with Madison.
No, he's obviously really respected. I'm talking about the randoms that's, you know, the ones who nick people's stories and just put two and two together.
We all know him.
But but no, listen, if it is true, then great. If it ain't, then we're on to the next.
Yeah, okay.
It turns out you were right.
I'm going to get my P45 in the morning.
Well, so in the morning. He's not going to go to work now. He's definitely going to put some trousers on at least.
Nath?
Yeah.
Slightly socked.
Sarah Saunders is laughing her head off. It says four words she had to say. I missed that last part because then I couldn't stop laughing her head off at what Boya had to say because that cracked me up. I heard it earlier and I was thinking I could cut that out. I was like, no, I've got to leave that in. That was really funny from Lee Boya. Tony's saying not much to talk about today. It certainly is. Ben's tweeted in or emailed in, I should say, during the week saying, have a look at the players out of contract from other teams in the Championship. There's some quality there to add in depth. Yeah, I mean, that's certainly be something I imagine that'd be more likely to be looked at in the end at the summer, maybe an out of contract player, unless it's someone. Now we could do a deal with the likes of Josh Parker or Johnny Williams, who would have their contract cancelled and then come in for the rest of the season. We saw last week, but I'm sure the lads are working hard behind the scenes there. Jordan messaged just in on Sunday to talk about Tom Lockyer. You'll remember he was displeased with a couple of aspects from his game. Now he's added to that, says, I admit I was wrong on Saturday. Lockyer had a great game against Fulham today. A couple of misplaced passes, but that he wasn't the only one, including the Fulham defence. Pierce really shored up the defence as well. It was a very good point. Right, email in from Mad Dog Mendonca. Louis and the gang, great to see. I love that. His real name's Joe.
Is it Clive? Is that what he calls himself? Yeah. His hand now?
I don't know if Mad Dog Allen has got a copyright on that name.
Mad Dog Mendonca.
Love it. It says, Lou and the gang, great to see a clean sheet last night. But do you think Charlton missed an opportunity by not going for it more in the last 30 minutes? Fulham were there for the taking. Yes, Boya bought on the attacking subs, but Dylan took an age to take free kicks, and it was apparent they were happy with a draw. Massive games coming up on the horizon, and conscious we're better as under dogs rather than having the onus on us to do all the running. Teams below us are going to be targeting us as well massively because of our form. Yeah, I do say there was a bit of slowing the game down a couple of times, but I still think we were, if there was a win to be had, I think we were looking out there to try and take it, weren't we? And we saw that a couple of chances where we went forward and we had that last free kick right at the very end that Piercy headed wide. And the next month, as Mad Dog points out, is massive for us.
Yeah, we said that earlier. We've got some absolutely huge games against teams that are down in the bottom half of the table. And that's where we need to pick our points up, ultimately. For some of the games, like we mentioned about Barnsley, the points are effectively double. So, yeah, they're huge. And we've got seven games in February. So it's a busy month as well. We've got, obviously, Huddersfield. I think we've got Wednesday, which is going to be a tough game away. But we've got, as I said, Blackburn at home, Stoke away. We've got Barnsley. We've got a lot of games, and we've got games that I think are winnable, especially with players coming back. I still, as I said earlier, do think we need a couple in. So it's about whether we can get those in over the next week or so. But yeah, I certainly think you go back 2-3 weeks, we're in such better shape now than we were. And I think that performance against Fulham just showed that, you know, with players coming back and the whole atmosphere around the club last night was brilliant after Boya signing that deal as well. So I think we're in a good place. The whole club feels very united, and I think that stands us in good stead going into these next few games.
Right, Mark Newbury actually has a slightly opposite point of view to what you just said about players. He says, evening chaps, probably a bit controversial, but I was wondering if we actually need any more bodies. We have competition for all places now and more players returning. And apart from Gallagher going, we aren't really short anywhere, possibly fullbacks. But even then, we have options. To be honest, if we signed Cullen, it would be enough for me. Keep the kids and let them out on loan next season. We replace Lecco with Green, so maybe Vennings and Davison could go out, but I'd keep Morgan, Doughty and Lapsley here. Cheers, that's from Mark. I mean, I still think we probably still need bodies. I mean, I know it feels, I mean, I know almost overnight the squad felt a lot stronger with the likes of Lyle, you know, and Johnny and Aaron and so-and-so and Cullen coming back, but you know, we still got Albie in there, who probably could do with a break. You know, doesn't want to be playing every week. Even Alfie won't want to play every week. A bit of quality still to replace the fact that we've lost, what, three bodies this month and bought one in, is that right?
Yeah, I think, I think for me, Albie, I think, needs to go out on loan. I'd keep Alfie for his energy. I still think we need someone in the middle. As much as I like Ozzy, he's one of those sort of luxury players I seem to find in the system. He's one of those sort of flary players, whereas Connor going, we've lost that energy, that box. I know Josh is back, but that box-to-box sort of player. So, yeah, I would still probably get... I'm hoping for at least two, which would be a forward and a central midfielder. And, you know, maybe a left-back as well to give Ben some time. But Alfie, I think I'd keep Alfie, definitely. I just think he can offer something. If you're losing, you've got a lot of pace and, you know, he's got a lot of endeavour. So, but, yeah, I definitely think we need some bodies. And give Albie and Josh Davison real minutes, you know, let them play 90 minutes Saturday, Tuesday, you know.
Still love that.
Yeah, I love it. But, yeah, no, you know, I know what Mark's saying, but I still think we're a bit short. Especially if we get a couple of, you know, the season's not over yet, you could get another injury.
Yeah.
Knowing our track record and a suspension, so.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, of course, we picked up one yesterday. Lewis Page sort of alluded to it earlier. Mm. So frustrating for Lewis and so disappointing. It must be so difficult for him. He's been out for so long. Gets some 23 minutes about, what, 8 or 10 weeks ago. Gets injured in his second game, comes back yesterday at the training ground against Palace, goes off after 12 minutes. So upsetting for him. It's a hamstring injury, I heard. You never know how long they're going to be with hamstrings, but they're always at least, what, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, aren't they? It's difficult, something probably similar to what McCauley's gone, depending on the strength of the damage. So I feel so bad for him. I feel so, so bad for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just absolutely gutted, and I understand people's frustration with him as well, because as fans, for one, you want to see him back because he's a good player, and for two, he's a player that's obviously picking up a wage every week and could arguably be filling a pace in the squad. So I do get that. I don't agree with the abuse that's been pointed his way. You know, he doesn't choose to get injured like this, and injury after injury can't be good, not only for his physical health, obviously, but also for his mental health. You know, footballers time and time again talk about how difficult it is to deal with an injury and be injured when all the other lads are out there training day after day. And when that's your profession and you're being stopped from doing it because your body's letting it down, it must be so tough for him. And like you said, you go back to that game against Plymouth all the way back at Bowyer's first game, and he smashed that goal in the first few minutes, and that we know what he's capable of when he's fully fit, and we just haven't seen it enough. And yeah, like you, just gutted for him, obviously wish him all the best, and if we could get him back, it would be an asset for sure. Yeah, heartbreaking to see him break down like that again.
Yeah, real shame. Well, let's have a listen to someone who has just come back from injury, Josh Cullen, on loan from West Ham. He was asked yesterday to talk about the game, of course, but also to, first of all, speak about how pleased he was that Lee Bowyer has put pen to paper on that new 3-year deal.
Yeah, I think it's a very positive thing for the club. As players, obviously, you want to be at a stable club, and obviously with the new owners coming in, rewarding Bo with what he deserves, with a long-term contract. Yeah, I think now we can just focus on what we need to focus on the pitch and look forward to trying to finish the season in strong fashion.
He said himself it's been a couple of years in the making almost to get a long-term contract. You touched on it there that he deserves it. I think that's what people probably would say universally, wouldn't they? That he deserves that sort of recognition and the chance to build something for a longer period.
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, before I was at the club, when he came in, he got the club in the playoffs, come up short that year. His second season, he got us out of League One, and he's doing a great job this season as well in the Championship. So, the work he's done deserves to be rewarded.
In terms of the result tonight, what were your thoughts on it? I mean, Lee seemed pretty happy with the point after the match.
Yeah, I think we have to respect Fulham and they're a top side with good players. And to get a point, I think we're happy with that. We've just got to now make it a good point with the fixtures we've got coming up and make sure we capitalise and get back to winning a few games as well.
When you're coming back and you're playing the full game and you've been out for a sort of period of time, are you able to play at the same intensity that you want, or is it kind of managing it to get through the 90? Obviously you've been out for a fair while and then come straight back in and effectively play the full match.
Yeah, it's tough. Obviously you can train as much as you want, but I've only had four sessions, training sessions, and then to go into a match, that you can't replicate against a good Fulham side as well, who are very good at keeping the ball and comfortable in position. It's tough on the body, but I feel good. I got through it okay. And yeah, I think I'll benefit from the game in the 90 minutes and getting my match sharpness back and getting back to the level that I want to be at and how I felt sort of the run before the injury.
It feels like a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Obviously, Johnny back recently, Lyle back on again today as well, and yourself. It feels like maybe the injuries, maybe it's been a bit of a corner being turned. Is that fair to say? I mean, it's obviously vital, isn't it, to get more of you guys out on the pitch and available?
Yeah, definitely. I think, credit to the lads that stuck at it over Christmas as well when bodies were thin. But, yeah, it's good to have players back. To be able to bring Lyle, Johnny and Andre off the bench. They're good subs to be able to bring on or when you're trying to go and win a game and you want to freshen things up. So when everyone's fit, we have got that competition for places and the manager can, I suppose, afford to rotate things as well. It's good to have bodies back. Now as a group, we've just got to look to push on and put a good run together.
Week and a half now until your next play, pretty much, isn't it, I think? So... Lee said some of the players going away. Is that something you'll do as well? Will you take a chance to get a bit of a break or not?
No, I'll be in. Like I said, I've only trained four times. Twice before the Preston game and then Monday and Tuesday this week. I'll be in. I'll be off tomorrow and then in Friday, Saturday, training and like I said, trying to, because I know I've still got work to do to get back to fully flight and then where I want to be.
With the window closing sort of fairly soon, do you keep too much of an eye on it? Do you on sort of Sky Sports News or anywhere else have a look around to see what's going on in terms of potential players? Because Lee's obviously saying he wants to bring players in.
Yeah, I think as players, you always, I think everyone would be lying if you didn't think about when you see something. But I don't think we go looking to see who we're going to bring in. We believe in the squad we've got at the minute. But if the manager wants to add quality to the squad, which it'll have to be to come into a good squad, then. It's only going to make us stronger and the competition for places will be even harder. So that's a good thing. And if we do get a few bodies in, then I'm sure that they'll be coming in to help us out.
Just a quick one on the loan situation. You're here at the end of the season. You've not played a lot at the start of the season. I'm right in thinking your contract at West Ham is up at the end of this season. Do you think you're somewhat wanting to put yourself in that shop window for the next 6 months?
I think it's just game by game. I have an option year at West Ham that's been triggered, so for next year the club have triggered that, so I'll just take it game by game. I've always said these loans, the long term plan is to improve as a player and go back and play for West Ham, and while I'm still contracted to West Ham, that'll always be the aim. And what a great club to do it at the minute. I'm loving it here. So we played a lot of games start of the season, then got the injury, which is unfortunate, with missing the busy period over Christmas. But now, I'm looking to kick on and have a strong finish to the season and help this club out, as well as improving myself.
There you go, that's Josh Cullen. A bit of a revelation there at the end that West Ham have triggered a option on his contract for next year now. So as we understood that his contract was going to run that at the end of this season, but now it's going on to next season. Speaking to an expert in Richard Corley, and he says he understands that it tends to be when a contract is triggered like that, often that would also include a wage rise for the player as well. Certainly now if we were to try and get Josh in the summer, we'd certainly have to pay a fee. Richard reckons that would also mean his wages have gone up as well. So that's disappointing, because I was really hoping now with our billions in the old bank now that we'd go out and splash the cash.
Yeah, well, I think that sort of ruined my holiday a little bit, but ruined my week. But no, he's a West Ham player, just like Connor was. But at least they haven't recalled him this time.
Mm.
But yeah, you can tell he's a good player, and he's done his time. You know, when he was at Bradford,
was he been in jail? Was he?
I don't know, he might have done. But you know, he's done time at Bradford, and he was here last year and this year. And you know, I hope if we don't go up, which is looking very unlikely, but you never know. Hopefully I do see him in a Premiership next year. I do like to see him. He's a good player.
I think he'd do a job for West Ham, certainly. He's got so much energy.
You look at some of the
they might not be in the Premier League next year anyway.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. He's got Mark Noble in there, like, come on, mate, give Joshy a go.
Yeah.
I hope Mark Noble don't listen.
That's another one written off by Muller. Another one bites the dust.
Yeah, let's imagine like he's coming to the end of his West Ham contract, looking for a bit like Paolo, looking for a little local. Oh, Charlton are playing. Let's see what Charlton Live are saying. Muller said, I ain't coming.
Noble right. Sat at home in his pants.
Yeah, I'll go somewhere else where I'm wanted. Someone who wasn't wanted, of course, at the Valley, Scott Parker, back in the day, managing Fulham yesterday. A strange one. I mean, he absolutely broke my heart when he left, and I reacted very badly. I went on a tour of Stamford Bridge. I've told this story many times, but I went on a tour of Stamford Bridge not long after with school, and left a note for him in the change room, and also went round the club shop and hid all the Scott Parker shirts behind other players like Jeremy and stuff. So I didn't take it too well. But obviously he's come back now, all water under the bridge. Spoke to him after the game yesterday. Actually, I just asked him how it felt for him to be back at the Valley.
Yeah, it always brings back good memories here. Obviously, I don't get the best of receptions here when I come back, but I have nothing but fond memories here. And it was a great time for me and a great place for me, and God give me an opportunity. And I like to think that every time I put a Charlton shirt on, I give him everything I can. And so, yeah, it's always good to come back.
Yeah, so only a brief clip from Scott Parker. You've used Nathan. Did you boo him yesterday? Were you throwing stuff?
No, not really. I don't know what that noise was about. No, do you know what? I was like, yeah, like, honestly, going up, because I was in secondary school when we were in the Premiership, and watching him was something that, you know, he was just unreal. I can't explain how good he was. And when he left, yeah, I was gutted. At the time, I didn't take it well, but it is what it is. But I mean, the first couple of times he come back, especially when he was a player, you give him the old
egg. And he's smacked that one in from 30 yards.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, like, it's, you know, it's football, you know, you get on with it, don't you? And you know, I don't hold anything against him. I wish him well, apart from when he's against us. So,
and beating us this year, though, has he?
Nah.
Rubbish. We had a tweet in from Martin, actually. Said, I think we need a central defender more than anything else. Sarr is not dominant enough, and Pierce is looking his age in this division. I think that's more of a priority, in Martin's opinion, going into the transfer window. Your views, Tom, on that? I mean, I said we're not the worst defence in the Championship by any stretch of the imagination. There's a fair few teams who've conceded more than us, but at the same time, you know, yesterday was our first clean sheet in a very long time. So pros and cons in the defence, if we put it that way.
Yeah, I wouldn't be upset to see another central defender come in, but I disagree that it's the priority. I think there are other areas we need to strengthen first. I think we'll probably get through to the end of this season with the defenders we've got, but I do think, obviously, with Sarr's contract up in the summer, I do agree a little bit about Pierce, although again I thought he was very good last night. So I think in the summer that is somewhere that we're going to need to invest in, but for the rest of this season I think we're probably okay. And like I say, if we were only going to get two or three in between now and the end of the window, I think I would rather get players in other areas first and then look to strengthen that in the summer. But I do think it's an area we need to consider.
Yeah, seven teams us and Cardiff have both conceded 41. The seven teams who conceded more, including Luton Town, who conceded a spectacular 61 goals, which is 20 more than us, and 40 more than Brentford, who have the best defence in the division with 21. That's a remarkable stat from Luton Town. I mean, obviously, we're looking at that Championship table. Luton, can't see them saying, like, you're shipping that amount of goals. Wigan in a bit of trouble. Barnsley aren't looking too good either. Got beat 3-0 at home by Preston, which makes our result at Preston look a little bit better the other day. You know, we're going into this window now. We know exactly what we need to do in terms of the rest of the season. What are you thinking? A couple of loans, maybe one permanent, and then that should see us through, and then we'll really see what this lot are up to in the summer?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, like you say, what you don't do is overload the squad and then just paying money to players that ain't going to improve you, and they're just going to be sitting there on the 16 or can't even get in a match squad. So, I still think, striker, a central midfielder, and I agree with Martin in terms of a central defender. See, that I'd like that to be a loan. I'd like someone similar to, you know, I think Michael Hector was a bit, when you put him under pressure, he made a few mistakes, but I think we lack a real ball-playing defender. I know Naby's a bit more technical, but someone with a bit more composure than Lockie and Piercy, but that's my opinion, and possibly a left-back now, because you can't rely on Ben and Alfie to do it all season. I just think we need something, because the only thing with me is when Ben plays and Souls, you ain't really going to get a lot going forward, whereas Matthews, I like Matthews, he's growing on me, but on the left-hand side, I just think we need someone with a bit more quality, like Pagey, who's got good cross on him.
Yeah, I imagine if Adam Matthews is currently sat at home in his pants listening, he'd be delighted. Yeah. He'd be delighted for the...
Christmas car for me.
The recommendation from Nathan. So we're not going to be on Sunday, but we'll be back in next Thursday with a preview for the Barnsley game, which is huge. But also, that'll be the day before transfer deadline. Don't have to get my calendar out, my atlas. I know where the ground is already. But I mean, that could be pretty big. Do you feel confident that we'll get the bodies in we need? Because there hasn't been a great deal of movement, not just us, around the championship yet. I mean, we do need a couple more.
That's the thing. I think genuinely, it's been quite a quiet transfer window just across English football. I kind of agree with what Boya said. A lot of it happens towards the end of the window. So I think players will start to come in. He said it was about, for a lot of players, it was about his contract. That's now done. So there's no excuse now. We've got the list. We've got the players. We've got the contract now. So it's about getting those players in. Southall's obviously keen to do it. I'm sure His Excellency is as well, in as much as he's involved. So, yeah, I'd be very, very surprised. Obviously, that's... play this again next Thursday, but I'd be very surprised if we get to next Thursday show and we haven't brought someone in.
Make it exciting show though, wouldn't it? Right, we've run out of time on the first ever Charlton Live big match review. It took me ages to come up with that name. I'm really pleased with that. And so we won't be here on Sunday. There's no game over the weekend, so we're going to have a little break off. Don't forget though, if you want to go and watch the women's team in the FA Cup, I'm going to be down there at the Oakwood in Crayford on Sunday. They're playing Chelsea. That's a real tough test. One of the top three sides in the Super League. Chelsea will bring a lot of fans as well, so make sure you go on the women's team website to pre-book your tickets for that one. Get down there to the Oakwood, support the girls. Let's hope they can pull off the biggest of all shocks. Right, thank you to Tom and Nathan for being here. My voice has failed right at the very end. Good job it's happened here, not at the start, isn't it?
Yeah, no, cheers.
Cheers, bye.
I've been Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live. Look forward to speaking to you again and next Thursday. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.